If you were here a few weeks ago, we started off this series on the Ten Commandments with me teaching you the 10-finger way to remember the Ten Commandments. Remember, I learned it from a poster on the wall when I was in college and I was teaching to preschoolers in Sunday school at the church I was attending, and there was this poster and it just kind of stuck, and so it's this memory device on how to remember the Ten Commandments in order with, you know, just using your fingers. So, I didn't make this up, but it does stick because that was a long time ago and I still remember. So, we're going to review 1 through 5 today because we are coming up on the fifth commandment, so we're reaching our halfway point here. So, this is a highly participatory activity, so I need everyone to get your fingers limber, hold up the index finger on one of your hands, and say with me, only one God. Okay, good. That's a gimme, right? That's easy. We're there. We're off and running. Only one God. Two, this represents a pair of scissors cutting out a shape because we're reminded that in the second commandment, we are to form no idols. So we're like cutting out an idol here, some shape of something, I don't know, golden calf or you name it. But we're cutting something out, but we're not supposed to form any idols. So no idols. Number two, that's what we remember there. So only one God, and then form no idols. Okay, number three, these three fingers form a W. W reminds us of the phrase, watch your words, and that we should not take the Lord's name in vain. Not take the Lord's name in vain. Number three, honor God's name. Number four, we talked about last week. Again, I didn't make these up, but they do tend to stick. Four wheels on a car, four people in that car, headed to church on a Sunday morning. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. All right? Only one God, no idols, watch your words, keep the Lord's name, and four, honor the Sabbath or keep the Sabbath holy. Okay, and now we're at number five, hold up all five fingers, and then salute, because today's the day we honor our parents. We honor our parents. That's what this represents. All right, so we see this fifth commandment, honor your parents, as we see all of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and in Deuteronomy 5. So here's the way it goes. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Similarly, in Deuteronomy 5, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. There's the core of the commandment. Now that verb, honor, here, in the original language, it means to be heavy. If I honor something, I'm assigning it its proper weight. So make heavy your parents with your attention and your respect. You honor them in that way. It's almost like you could picture a heavy cloak being put on them. You honor them. So we honor our parents when we treat them with a ton of respect. You might think of it like that. It's a weighty word we bring glory to. We applaud something when we honor it or someone. So when you honor, you're respecting one's true weight, one's true worth. And that's our lesson this morning. If we were to sum it up, we honor our parents when we rightly weigh their true worth. We honor our parents when we rightly weigh their true worth. Some synonyms for honor would be recognize, treat with respect, admire, appreciate, prize, live up to, look up to. So we're going to tackle this morning, what does it look like to honor our parents? But before we go any farther, we thought it would be good to get the opinions of some subject matter experts. So we have a video here in which we've asked the kids of Outlook about honoring their parents. And so take a look at this video.
Respect your parents, you listen to your parents. Don't lie to your parents. Don't sin to your parents.
Obey them and do what they tell you.
Obeying them means to follow their directions, even if you don't want to.
Don't hide stuff in your couch. I used to do that in my sleep.
Respect them.
To listen to them and obey them.
The Bible.
like doing the dishes for them without them asking, or just not arguing.
You don't push.
Do what they ask you to the first time.
By doing the dishes and like surprising them.
Love them.
I do what they tell me.
Clean the room.
You could like follow their directions.
If they tell you to like do your chores or something, you do it.
I try never to try to yell at them or get really frustrated with them.
They're trying to keep you safe, and if you don't try to listen to them, they're not. You're gonna get in trouble.
70% obey, 30% disobey. Same.
Obey.
Sometimes, but at the same time.
Obey.
Sometimes I don't, and sometimes I do.
That's me.
Me too.
Obey.
Well, obey. I don't know, because sometimes I get like a little frustrated, but I still obey.
You try to obey as much as you can, but sometimes you get frustrated and you just can't help it.
Obey.
Obey because it's the right thing to do.
If you would disobey, then you could go to jail.
Oh, man. I hope some parents are taking notes there if you saw your kids on the video. That's awesome. Go to jail if you disobey. I especially like the sequence three times in a row. You saw three kids on the couch, three different sets, and do you obey or disobey more? And the immediate consensus is obey, and then the third kid kind of goes, well, sometime, and then the other two kind of come clean. Oh, yeah, okay. I think we all can resonate with that, right? We all kind of feel that way. Most of the time we're pretty good, but if we really stop and think about it, maybe we got some areas of improvement. Well, that was a lot of fun. We're going to look now scripturally at what it means to honor your parents. And what I see are at least these three big categories that the Bible describes that taken together really kind of answer the question, how do we obey our parents and what does this look like? And so let's just dive into the first one, and in a way kind of the most obvious one, and that is submission and obedience. Submission and obedience. We honor our parents by obeying them. Now, I'm speaking mostly to a room full of adults here, and so we're thinking, we might have to think back to when we were kids as we think of obedience as mostly being about when we were kids and our parents were the grown-ups, right, and we were obeying them. How this looks as we change and become adults, it does adjust, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment, but let's just go ahead and talk about submission and obedience. Anyone ever heard or heard themselves say, you live in my house, so you obey what? My rules. That's exactly right. And hey, can I get an amen on that one? Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That is solid, solid stuff. You live in my house, you obey my rules, which is really the essence of what we're talking about in a way. We submit to and obey our parents. We put them in the position of authority that is due to them. That would be the way I would sum it up. When I was a little kid, I believed everything my dad said, okay? The thing is, what I didn't fully appreciate was what a kidder my dad was. I can still remember being a little kid. I'm guessing I was maybe 5 years old. I'm in the back seat of the station wagon, and we're driving down the road, and I'm paying attention to what's happening in front of me, and I start to wonder, why are the lines dashed? And then sometimes it's a solid line. Then sometimes there's two solid lines or, you know, the whole thing. And so I remember poking my head up into the front seat because there were no seat belts back then, right? You know, that didn't exist. And so I just remember leaning up and saying, hey, what's going on there? You know, what's up with the lines? And my dad, just like that, I said, what's up when there are two solid lines in the middle of the road? And just like that, Dad says, oh, that's the motorcycle lane. And if you know my dad, you know, I mean, he just does this stuff all the time. But I don't know how many years I went wondering why no one was obeying the motorcycle lane rule. Because I never saw any motorcycles in their lane. They were always out of their lane. Go figure, right? And so, but I believed everything my dad said. I put him in that position that, you know, was the right place for him to be. I can still hear my mom say, because she's probably said it 1,000 times. Oh, Dale, you know, but I didn't know quite what to make of that at the time. But I've heard that many times since, right? Now, clearly, when the Apostle Paul in the New Testament thought about this Old Testament commandment, obedience was what he thought of, among other things that we'll talk about in a moment. But in Ephesians 6, he writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes the fifth commandment, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth." So here is Paul quoting the fifth commandment as he's giving these, like he liked to do at the end of a lot of his letters. He'd start to address different folks in the church, different categories of people. Here's what you should do. Here's my advice to you. And he turns to children and says, hey, obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. It's in the commandments. And so don't neglect that. He turns to parents, puts it this way, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Solid advice here. But clearly, obedience to our parents and the fifth commandment of honoring our parents, that they clearly go together. Now, we also see, and Paul makes it clear here, that these relationships that we're talking about, because we're going to get into the complexities of this in just a moment, they work best, this commandment and Paul's advice, all this stuff works in the context of everyone involved being in the Lord, as he puts it here. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Things get complicated when we're not in the Lord. Isn't that true of just about every area of our lives? When we're not in the Lord, so to speak, when we're not giving him his rightful place as the Lord of our lives, things get messy and complicated. But nevertheless, honoring our parents is a good, solid thing to do, and it includes obeying them. We also read here, of course, about what we as parents need to do in terms of discipling our children. We're going to be having a seminar next week at 4:30, two seminars. You heard me talk about the worship one. We'll also have one for parents about discipling your children, no matter their age, never too early, never too late. Our student minister, Mitch Young, and our children's minister, Melissa Jakes, will be teaching this seminar to parents about discipling your kids. And so if that's something you'd like to dive in and hear more about, learn more about, mark your calendar for that seminar. It also will be a great way to prepare yourself if you've never participated in our parent-child dedication. Twice a year, we take a moment in our services. And parents, mom, dad, or mom and dad can come. And no matter the age of your children, if you've never done it before, you're standing in front of your church family and you're saying, we dedicate ourselves, or I dedicate myself, to raising my kids in a Christian home. And when we as a church, we dedicate ourselves to supporting parents in that, because we know that that is a responsibility for the whole church family. We are indeed a church family, and raising the next generation in Jesus is the responsibility of us all. That's a core belief for us here at Outlook. And so the parent-child dedication time coming up in early November, if you've never participated in that, you can sign up for that, learn more about that, just give us a call or email or whatever. And so all of this, these are just ways we express and live out what we read Paul saying here and what we read in the fifth commandment. In Colossians, Paul put it very similarly when he said, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." It pleases the Lord. We honor God, which was one of our earlier commandments, when we honor our parents. It resonates with the life that God gives us. It's just a good and right thing to do. When God sees children honoring their parents, he is seeing something that pleases him and resonates with who he is and who he wants us to be. It's just a good, solid, healthy thing. And check this out. Disrespect and disobedience toward our parents is an indicator, the Bible says, of godlessness. We are out of order and out of line when we neglect and disrespect our parents. Check this out. Romans 1, Paul is talking about what life becomes like for individuals and a society when people disengage, disconnect from God. They're rejecting God and doing things their own way. And he talks about how they become filled with every kind of wickedness. And he lists just all this nastiness, right? Depravity and murder and gossiping. And he says that people become God haters and they're arrogant. They invent ways of doing evil and they disobey their parents. He throws that right in there with all this other stuff. because he sees how core, you know, there's a reason God puts this right there in the middle of the Ten Commandments. There's something divine and sacred about our relationship with these people who've given us our earthly life. And that when we disconnect from them, when we're heartless enough to not care about them, then we are definitely, it's an indicator of the kind of unhealth, if that's not a good word, but you know what I'm saying. I'll make up words every now and then. Indicative of not being living in God's flow. He says the same thing to Timothy. He talks about how there'll be terrible times in the last days. We know, you know, as things get worse and worse before the returning of the Lord, he says people are going to be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boastful, proud, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. He says all these things, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. He's saying, man, this is what happens when people disconnect from God, who is their eternal parent, right? There's a reason this is such a big deal. God is our eternal parent, our heavenly Father. And when we become heartless and disengaged from our own parents, man, there's something unhealthy happening that we have to pay attention to. To blatantly and willfully disregard this most fundamental human relationship, and as these people who've given us our, at least our earthly life, it's the height of human pride, and it's the epitome of heartlessness. And that's what Paul is saying here in these two passages. It's nothing good comes from that. Nothing good comes from that. But with God, we want to find ways, even if they're difficult to find, we want to find ways to honor and to love. And that brings us to our second category, so to speak, and that is we honor our parents through our respect and devotion to them, our respect and devotion. And let me take this chance or this opportunity to talk about and dive into the complexities of what we're talking about here. This fifth commandment is a precious thing. Honor your parents. But many may agonize. How do I honor a parent who's been abusive or neglectful or unfaithful? So let's talk about that. What does that look like for us? Because we all know it's true. We can't choose our parents. We can't. Now, I gotta come clean. This commandment is an easy one for me. I'm blessed with especially wonderful parents. So it's easy for me to honor them. They are honorable, and it's just a no-brainer for me. But not everyone can say this, and I totally recognize that I just happened to win the parent lottery. You know, it's nothing to do with me. And I was recently just reflecting on how others can find themselves. I know folks in this category. You do too. You may be in this category. Folks who get a pretty raw deal in this regard. And these matters are highly influential in our lives, no matter our age, who our parents were and are. How they've treated us or continue to treat us does not go away. It hits us in our most formative times, and it affects us for the rest of our lives in one way or another. It is part of our story. There's no wishing it away. There's no denying it, and there's no forgetting it. And we all know it. We cannot choose our parents, and in and of ourselves, we cannot change what they're like or were like, or we can't wish things were different. And so what that tells me, whenever we have a chapter in our lives that we can't change, and it's just part of what our story is we've got to lean into it. We've simply got to take it, accept it, and then lean into it through the power that Jesus gives us. So briefly, I would just say that if that's you, and you've got a challenging relationship with your parents, or had one if they're no longer with you, and you still carry that burden, or carry that wound. Let's just briefly talk about how we as Jesus followers can handle that. And the first thing, of course, is that we've got to point ourselves on a path of forgiveness. And I always talk about forgiveness in just that context, because forgiveness is not just a one-day decision. Oh, I've decided to forgive, and now it's all over and done. Forgiveness is a journey and a path. And our job is to keep ourselves on that path and to keep ourselves walking forward on that path. And so if you have things about your mom and or dad that you need to forgive, you stay on that path and you keep asking the Lord to help you until you've reached a destination of forgiveness in which you've been able to let go and put these things behind you. Remember, forgiveness never means saying that what happened was right or even that it was no big deal. Forgiveness does mean, though, recognizing, but it's over, and I have to let that go and not hold it over anyone's head. And I have to recognize that that I need forgiveness just like everybody else. I've got my own list of things that need forgiven. And so because I know that's true, and I don't want anyone holding those things over me, I'm not going to hold them over someone else either. That's what forgiveness looks like in a really brief summary. And so if this is our challenge with our parents, we've got to keep ourselves on the path of forgiveness. When we do that, we will find before us compassion. We will begin to sense a level of Christ-granted compassion for them. We begin to see them as the flawed human beings that they really are, because we also know that we're flawed human beings, and we begin to have some level of compassion for them. Again, not excusing, not explaining away, but compassion simply for who they are. Forgiveness brings that as we walk along that path. And then a third thing that we can include in this recipe of what it means to honor parents to whom honor is not necessarily due, based simply on their treatment of us, and that is we can resolve to overcome whatever it is that's in front of us that's a part of our story. We can resolve to rise above it. I found a quote that I want to quote from Chris Hedges in his book, Losing Moses on the Freeway. It's about the Ten Commandments in America. He really captures something that I think could minister to us today, if this is you, about this fifth commandment. He says this: we cannot undo abuse. Really let these words soak in. We cannot undo abuse, but we can find a way to honor life, even their lives, speaking of our parents, by turning that abuse into compassion, not only for ourselves, which is necessary for healing, but more important, for all who suffer. Those who use personal pain to mitigate the pain of others, who take the experience of sorrow and suffering and use it to lead a life of compassion, honor their parents, even as they rise above them, because they honor life, which is what their parents gave them. They honor what is holy and good. They take out of tragedy a regenerative power. They fulfill the commandment. Now, there's a lot going on in that quote, and it's not just true in our relationship with our parents, it's true of everything. If we as Jesus followers can be, and we are called to be, people who absorb the pain of life, and instead of letting it take us down, we recycle it, which is what Jesus is expert at doing, we let Him in us recycle it, and we use it, we leverage it to make the lives of others better, to help them in their pain, even as we ourselves are wounded healers, then something beautiful can happen. And that is very true when it comes to our relationship with our parents, especially when you're faced with some serious challenges in that relationship. You can, as the next generation, resolve to rise above, go beyond, do better. We can be good children to not so good parents. We can do that through Christ. And we may not always be able to obey them. Maybe they're not in the Lord. Maybe they're not of a mind that makes that possible. But we can have compassion for them. We can extend grace to them. And we can resolve to rise above whatever they've handed to us and make it better. We can be better parents. And we can be good children to them. What are we aiming for when it comes to a relationship with our parents? It's beautifully and kind of poetically described in Proverbs 23. It says, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she's old. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad May she who gave birth to you rejoice. What a great description of what we'd love to see be true, and it can at least aim ourselves toward being true. Even if our parents are gone, they're no longer with us, we can represent them well by carrying forward what they gave us and being the kind of sons and daughters that will make them proud. Amen? Regardless of whether they're still with us right now or not. And if you're wondering about in-laws and whether any of this applies to them, I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and email our church administrator, Joe Mitchell, I'm just going to leave that between you and Jesus. You guys can figure that out all on your own. We've talked about submission and obedience, and we've talked about respect and devotion, but there's a third category here. The Bible's super clear on it, and it's super important for us, and that is support and care. Support and care. And as we age and our parents age, this becomes ever more important. Let me tell you a story from one of the Gospels about the Pharisees and Jesus. Much as they did with the Sabbath, which we talked about last week, the Pharisees would get this stuff wrong, and they had this elaborate system of rules and loopholes when it came to this fifth commandment. And they, in this instance here that I'm going to share in Matthew 15, they get this totally wrong, and Jesus puts them in their place. Some Pharisees come up to Jesus and try to call him and his disciples out on the fact that his disciples are not washing their hands before they eat, which would make them ceremonially unclean. And they're breaking the rules. They're breaking the rules. And Jesus comes right back to them with this. And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? In other words, you've got a tradition that we should wash our hands, but you're ignoring the commandment of God for one of your traditions. And he says, let me tell you about it. God said, honor your father and mother, quoting this very commandment we're talking about today. And he goes on to quote a little later from the Old Testament, anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. He says, but you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is, quote, devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about a practice that was called korban. Korban was their word, literally means offering or gift devoted to God. So they had this practice that called the korban offering, and what they said was, this is part of their elaborate system of rules, if you want to get out of supporting your parents in their older age, then you just give some money to God's temple, and this was your gift, saying, I would have used this to take care of my parents, but instead I'm giving it as an offering to God. So I'm kind of just trading those resources. And they would accept that. And so they'd created this loophole where you didn't have to take care of your parents in their old age. It was a religiously acceptable way to neglect your parents and circumventing your responsibility. And Jesus won't have any of it. He's calling them on it. He says, that's a dumb tradition. You've got the commandment of God carved by his finger in stone tablets, and you're ignoring that for the sake of some rule that you've made up and some tradition that you've decided to keep. And so don't talk to me about not washing our hands while you're neglecting your parents. Think about it like this. This is kind of a mind-blowing thing. In John 19, Jesus on the cross, giving his life for all mankind. And in John 19, we read that Jesus sees Mary, his mom, and sees John there at the foot of the cross, and says to them, while he's on the cross, he says to Mary about John, behold your son. And he turns to John, says, behold your mother. And John tells us that from that hour, he took Mary into his own household. Here's Jesus, the ultimate korban offering, right? Gift devoted to God, giving his life for all mankind, and even in his dying breath, he is going to fulfill the fifth commandment and take care of his earthly mom. That's how important this is, how core it is to the love that, if God is putting any kind of love in us at all, and of course he puts all kinds of love in us, it's going to include love for our parents. And it's going to include even tangibly taking care of them as they need it. It is a high and important, essential part of our calling as Jesus followers. There is no way around it. And it is just clearly, clearly true. This is true. This was true of the early church. Just to, as we wrap things up here, the early church in the decades after the resurrection, one of their practices was if there were ladies in their church who were widows, then the church took care of them, because that's what family does, right? We take care of each other. And but Paul needed to give Timothy some advice on this, and because there was a question: well, how do we figure out who's on this list, and how do people take care of each other? And Paul says, look, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. There it is. Could not be more clear. You take care of your parents and grandparents. So what he's saying is if a widow has family, then they should take care of her because that's their duty. And you're not doing them any favors if you and your whole church family end up taking care of that widow and kind of circumventing their responsibility to take care of mom or grandma. No, they should. And in fact, it's their religious duty to. And if you do that for them, then you're not doing them any favors either. In fact, he puts it a couple sentences later like this. Anyone who doesn't provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So again, if God puts any kind of love in us at all, it's going to include this kind of love. And so you've got to show that kind of love. You've got to be that kind of son and daughter and grandson and granddaughter. It's simply what we do. It's self-evident. Even here at Outlook, we make sure today, these many centuries later, that we take good care of our spiritual parents and grandparents. When folks can't come to church, when they're ill, when they're getting older and homebound, we make sure that they're not forgotten. We make sure they get communion where they live. We make sure that they're getting visits. Our pastoral care team, headed by Kelly Grimmett, awesome things are happening in that team and what they do. And if you want to join that team, you can learn more about it. It is a precious thing to take care of the people in our church family. One Day to Go was so much fun last month, partly because we got to see people of every generation serving next to each other. It was a real blast. We rejoice in this quality of our church. We embrace it. We love it. We love the fact that we're a multi-generational, loving church that takes care of each other. This stuff that we read in the fifth commandment, what we consider when we open the Bible and let it tell us all about that fifth commandment, it's a beautiful thing. And it's a great privilege to get to do it for our earthly parents, for our spiritual parents and grandparents. It's one way that we take care of each other. We assign the proper weight to this precious relationship of those who've given us life. Amen? That's what it comes down to. And we get to be a part of it. We don't got to be a part of it. We get to be a part of it. Amen.